This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm joined by
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Yes, indeed, Arvind Yuvaraj. Today, we're talking about layoffs and more specifically in tech, which is kind of surprising when you hear there's a tech shortage and that's all going on and we need the right talent. We hear these stories. But we're going to talk about this. And of course, if you have any comments about this, you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And then you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, this came about because, hundreds of workers from startups in Southeast Asia have been fired in the last few months, proving that the fast-growing industry is not immune to the global economic slowdown. So at least six tech companies have let go of their staff, including Sea Limited, the owner of Singapore-based e-commerce site Shopee. I'm sure all of us know that at that site. Tech investors say this is just the beginning of more job cuts in the region's tech industry. And as interest rates rise and economic uncertainty looms, companies are now being forced to focus on profitability instead of growing as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a couple of quotes from Jessica Huang Poehler, a partner at venture capital firm Open Space, who said that last year, a lot of what happened was a lot of cheap capital in the market flooded the market, which allowed companies to grow really at any cost. What happened was people were hired very rapidly. So you have a problem, you just throw people at it. She also commented that we'll see more tech layoffs in the next few months.
Okay, according to an email from Chief Executive Chris Feng, sent to employees who were affected by job cuts, Shopee has laid off workers from his food delivery and payment arms, as well as teams from Argentina, Chile, and Mexico. In the email, it's written that, and we quote, "Given elevated uncertainty in the broad economy, we believe that it is prudent to make certain difficult but important adjustments to enhance our operational efficiency and focus our resources."
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, many tech companies are not excluded from this fate. So the New York Stock Exchange listed Sea Limited, which had more than 67,000 employees at the end of 2021, did not say how many employees were affected. Singapore-based digital wealth manager Stashaway laid off 31 employees, or 14%, which is a huge number of its headcount in end May and June, according to a spokesperson. Malaysian online shopping platform iPrice retrenched one-fifth of its workforce in June. The company said that it had 250 employees before the layoff. And meanwhile, over in Indonesia, Indonesian education tech company Xenius had also let go of more than 200 employees.
Wow. So right now, due to unforeseeable and uncertain economic conditions, startups are being more cautious in scaling their team fast. Singapore-based digital currency agency Crypto.com also laid off more than 250 of the employees, or 5% of its workforce. And this is a spokesperson telling CNBC, jobs were cut across all regions in Asia-Pacific, Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and the Americas. JD.id, the Indonesian arm of Chinese e-commerce site JD.com, has also cut jobs. Its director general management said the redundancies were to maintain the company's competitiveness in the e-commerce competitive market in Indonesia, but they did not say how many were laid off. So job openings in Singapore's tech sector have fallen slightly from last year. And according to tech jobs portal Nodeflare, vacancies fell by almost 1,000 from July 2021 to May 2022.
So when dealing with layoffs, the rising interest rates are a particular concern to the tech industry. Increase in interest rate will increase the cost of doing business and the cost of capital and expectation of return for investors. When companies' profit margins are lowered, we can expect more layoffs to happen in the near future. So James Tan from Quest Ventures did mention that it would be hard not to see layoffs, as any startup that does not do so well will face a board that questions their underlying assumptions and ability to manage through a crisis. Startups will need to prolong the cash runway by 18 to 36 months compared to the usual 12 to 18 months before they try to raise funds again. So as valuations have fallen from last year's high, companies will want to avoid raising money with the possibility of being valued lower than their last fundraising round. He added that they would rather try to cut costs and ride out this downturn before fundraising again.
So if a storm is brewing, why are Southeast Asia-focused venture capital funds still able to raise large sums of money and invest them? Preqin data show that these funds have raised $900 million so far this year, the same amount raised in in the whole of 2021. The exuberant market for startups has recently turned and the window for easy money is now closed. Investors said that Southeast Asia is still a fundamentally good region to bet on, looking at its growing middle class population, high internet usage rate, and growing number of startup founders who work with other tech companies previously. So the current downturn may be a good time for investors to pick out companies that are actually doing well and invest in them while their valuations are down. So investors start to deploy in the bear market. Venture capitalists noted that the outcome for that will be pretty good because they will exit in the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years, and hopefully the market should already recover. There's going to be an increasingly significant bifurcation between good quality companies and bad quality companies. So with a lot of weaker companies shedding a lot of good talent employees, it's going to allow the bigger, stronger companies to also hire better.
Yeah, so global markets have shown that cooling after what happens to be a deep bull run with companies across the world, including in Southeast Asia, enacting hiring freezes and job cuts. China and India recorded the largest number of tech layoffs in May 2022. Southeast Asia is experiencing a higher number of layoffs in June, particularly among a number of fintech, e-commerce and automotive companies. While Southeast Asia's digital economy is projected to grow to US $360 billion by 2025, according to the Economy Southeast Asia Report 2021 by Google and Temasek, the effects of the recent tech layoffs can potentially influence this growth rate in the short term. Together with the slowdown in venture capitalist funding, it is evident that tech startups are tightening their belts to remain resilient for an economic winter ahead.
Okay, so however, there is a silver lining to this ongoing trend for startups and companies that have been quiet and growing their business in a sustainable fashion. Companies falling into this category are looking to seize the opportunity to hire and acquire through growing their presence and product offering. So, you know, so all this are, you know, it's the interest rate hikes, right? I mean, it's like when America what sneezes, right? Asia catches a cold. I think though, yeah, it's true, you know, and I think there is still great growth in Southeast Asia. And, you know, but I think it also comes back to business fundamentals, right? If you've got your right business fundamentals and not just grow and, you know, you slap the problem with people, that kind of thing, maybe now it's a good time to, like any other industry, right? If you've got a good business, it will still come to you know, come to bear you. You know, you'll still get to bear your fruits, but you're now a little bit more prudent. So, you know, that's my feel about it, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, based on a few like experts and analysts that we've spoken to before, it's always you know, when these questions come up, like layoffs are always unfortunate, right? Like no one wants to be laid off, no one wants to lay off. But then it's always, sometimes they come and say that it's part and parcel of their growth stage. It's figuring out like what to cut, not what to cut, you know, how to like, you know, sort of like filter back a bit so that they can grow better in the future, right? So it's kind of what did they call it, like necessary evil? It's a harsh way of saying it, but according to the people that we've spoken to, that's It is part and parcel of that phase, right?
And I guess also with investors, you know, now that, you know, valuation's a bit lower, you know, it's a bit good time to come in, right? It's the same thing, right? When you've got money, then you can try to, you've got more of a bargaining power in that sense. But we're just rambling on here. We've got an expert coming on to talk about the situation. We've got Rene Menezes, president and co-founder of Involve Asia and affiliate marketing platform. We're going to get his views right after this. So, you know, stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Budding fresh ministers. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's Enterprise Biz Bites. Good afternoon. Frida Liu here together with Arvin Yuvaraj. We're talking about another round of tech layoffs. We're seeing, you know, organizations laying off their tech staff. And, you know, if you have any thoughts around this conversation, you can always let us know via Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So, you know, companies like Shopee and different companies as well are actually laying off their staff, and it's across Southeast Asia. We've got Rene Menezes, president and co-founder of Involve Asia affiliate marketing platform, giving us his views. Thanks for staying on the line, Rene. Hope you're well. But, you know, Rene, just want to know as well, how are the tech layoffs affecting the MarTech and e-commerce ecosystems globally?
Thank you for having me on. The tech layoffs have really been an interesting occurrence. Because all these companies globally we saw were growing at breakneck speed, right? And I think it's a result of, you know, macroeconomic factors. So stuff like the war in Ukraine, maybe reduction in some of the value of currencies and so on, right? So you're not just seeing layoffs, you're also seeing hiring freezes. And this impacts, because like the big giants like Meta and all that stuff have a foothold on the end, have offices in almost the entire globe, right? So I think for the industry, that's sort of worrying. But there always will be a need for talent within this industry. So I think it's a plus and minus. There are going to be companies that benefit from this as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Rene, to what extent are these tech layoffs being echoed in Malaysia and in Southeast Asia in general?
Sure. Actually, in Southeast Asia, it's, you know, I think there've been a few that were called out in the media, and specifically in the e-commerce sector, right? And I suspect it's a result of the pandemic more than anything else, post-pandemic. So during the pandemic, e-commerce exploded in growth naturally. And as a result, you saw many companies in the region believe that this was an indicator of how business was going to be from this point onwards, right? So you saw companies starting to hire to create either new divisions or pad up existing divisions to take advantage of this explosive growth. What started happening in the last 3 to 4 months is that there's been sort of an adjustment as the world sort of opens up. People are finding a whole load of other ways to spend their money, right? Like getting back in a plane and traveling and so on. So you do see the travel sector rebound significantly. That's pretty obvious. But on the e-commerce side, while there's still growth, you are seeing a little bit of consolidation. So if you take, for example, maybe 3-4 months ago, everyone wanted to get into the whole buy now, pay later business. So you found that there were many companies who were experimenting with that and building teams to support that. Right now, it doesn't seem like, you know, if you're not focused on your core, business does become more difficult.
Right. You know, is the post-pandemic recovery the only reason these mass layoffs are happening? Anything else?
Right. So post-pandemic, I think you'll find that also, you know, talent is looking around. And this is sort of like the hangover from the Great Resignation, right? So a lot of people have been looking for what other opportunities provide them with that sort of balance in lifestyle and all that. But interestingly, I think the companies who are sort of downsizing and all that, they're not companies that are going to disappear tomorrow. These are companies who historically, you know, if they've laid off, you know, a few months down the road, they'll rehire, right? I think it's more a decision of what kind of composition of a team they should have and what areas of the business they should focus in.
Mm-hmm. So what is the current situation in the tech job market here?
I actually think it's still a great time for tech jobs. So if you have any sort of qualifications around engineering, product development, program management, UI, UX, design, and all that stuff, you're still very highly in demand. So if I suspect that anybody who has recently been laid off should find very little trouble finding a place to land safely with a new job. If you take, for example, our business, Involve Asia, we still have 50 roles open that we're recruiting for. And this is across the entire region, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I suppose. And my son is doing design, by the way. Okay. So, Rene, do you think these layoffs are just a temporal phase or will they be drawn out like the war?
I suspect it's temporary. It's temporary while sort of the market rebalances itself. So people get better clarity of where the business is going, where the industry is going. So once you know, and you know, all these uncertainties of stuff we've never experienced before as either entrepreneurs or people who run businesses, once all this sort of, you know, levels out, you'll find that people will go back to the ability to plan what kind of resources they need and so on.
And do you think these tech layoffs would discourage those applying for jobs in the tech sector?
Yeah. So I think, it's very hard to say the demand is not as high. I think the companies that they're with that they may have been laid off, maybe at this point do not see the need for those resources. But, I'll give you an example. There's a really large social media platform, up-and-coming social media platform headquartered in Singapore. In the last 3 months, they've hired 600 to 700 people just in Singapore for their regional office, right? So even for people like us who are trying to fill our positions, we're in big competition with some of the big boys in the region. So I think the talent's always going to find that there is opportunity as long as they have the skill sets, and even better if they have the experience.
Right. Okay, closer to home, what is the overall impact of these tech layoffs on Malaysia's digital economy?
I see it as actually a redistribution of skills. We've been out hunting to fill some of these roles that we have for maybe the last 6 months. And just in the last maybe 3 weeks, the quality of the resumes that are appearing in our inboxes is quite amazing, with a level of experience that we frankly are very excited about. So I think you're going to start seeing a lot of companies that may have been limited in their ability to grow suddenly get the resource that they need to take full advantage of whatever position they have in the market.
And Rene, so what are some of your predictions for the near future regarding the job market for tech talent?
We've seen maybe in the last 24 months during the pandemic that, wages and salaries the scale has been going up. One of those reasons is now, since everyone's doing remote work and all that stuff, our level of competition, we're seeing people being hired to be based in Malaysia but work for companies outside of Malaysia. So our competition is no longer local companies. And so I do think that while salary scales go up, we'll still need to start focusing on the other aspects of hiring and employee welfare and all that stuff.
Right. So what can tech companies do, if anything, to avoid a situation like these layoffs in the future?
So I think it's one of the issues is that this is sort of like a perfect storm, right? So you have economic factors that we are not in control of. So that's always going to have an impact that couldn't be planned for. But because it's snowballing with, inflation in many countries, currency issues in currency conversion rates that have changed dramatically over the last few months and all that stuff, I think it's inevitable that sometimes companies are going to be faced with stuff that they can't predict.
What can companies or tech companies do to attract new talent?
So what we've realized is that, we really have to, especially in the tech space, we have to live what we preach, right? So using the right channels to capture talent's imagination, to give them an opportunity to have that sort of ability to change either the industry or certain companies and so on. The important part about it, I think, now is to be more genuine than we've ever been before. To be very straightforward, because all the companies that are pushing through this period, it's not an easy, rosy road where, masseuse will come and massage you at your table or you get a, buffet at every lunchtime. It's difficult business, but, having a great team and inviting people to join that team for this same sort of battle ahead is, I think, what's been resonating for us with candidates that we speak to.
What? No masseuse? Okay, no. Rene, do you think Malaysian tech companies need to aim towards hiring more remote talent as well?
Actually, we've started doing that, but in sort of an indirect way, right? So what we've done is we've started to engage people who are leaving local universities with their postgraduate degrees. and hiring them before they head back to their home country, so they can spend time in our organization with the team and all that. And then we send them back to their home country, fully trained, fully a part of the organization to run those markets for us.
Hmm. So, Rene, as a final note, to what extent, if any, have these tech layoffs impacted investor interest?
So some companies who've had to lay off, I think investors are always 50-50 about this, right? You know, so investors are very supportive when a company is trying to manage their costs, to consolidate their business, to focus. I think that's always a good sign. The negative is that occasionally that in fact affects the valuation of a company, only because public perception is pretty one-dimensional, right? Mm. If you're laying off, you're in trouble.
Right.
Like I said, it's sort of half-half, right?
Right. Thanks, Rene. Rene Menezes, President and Co-Founder of Evolve Asia Affiliate Marketing Platform. You know, that comment about investors, right? I think at the end of the day, you know, they're thinking of their ROI. Right, So if you can manage your costs, I don't know, whatever it takes.
Three important words, right? ROI. Three important letters.
Right. So, you know, I think that, again, the idea that, you know, there's going to be remote work and how that's going to fare out. And if you're in the right space, there is still growth. You know, so interesting comment about how, you know, a company that's hiring 600 people out in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and labor isn't cheap in Singapore.
Okay. And also, you know, like tech startups will always say about the ebb and flow, right? Like the peaks and valleys. So they have like, you know, they have like up times and down times. So like what Rene said, you know, and what others have also said and echoed, that it shouldn't put people off from getting into the tech space just because it's a bit of a downtime now.
Right. Okay. So yeah, you know, that again, you know, we've been talking about layoffs, especially in the tech space. So brace yourself. I mean, it's all these other factors, right? Interest rates hikes, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, all of this, you know, has a ripple effect, a dominant effect out in Asia as well. So thanks for being with us. And of course, we'll be back for another episode of Enterprise Biz Bytes tomorrow. After the news at 1, we've got the Breakfast Grill replay. We've got Dr. Paul Tang, professor from S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, the conflict in Ukraine, and climate change impact are all contributing to rising costs of food, which in turn has rocketed food security to top of national concerns. How is the ASEAN region impacted by disruptions to global food supply chain? And is there a way to future-proof ourselves against similar shocks moving forward? So yes, Dr. Paul Tang, a professor adjunct senior fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, all happening after news and 1. I'm free. Liu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj, you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.